This week on the Jock and Nerd podcast, we review the action comedy Boy Kills World, plus McDonald's giving us our first look at Captain America 4 characters. Deadpool and Wolverine's director says you won't need to do any homework for his movie. Sony delays two big movies and more, all in this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Monday, April 29th, 2024.
You know who this is, and you know why you're here. You want all the latest comic book and superhero TV and movie news, and by God, you found it. Forget everything else out there. Forget all the Scientology bullshit. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. Worship at the feet of the holy trio of geekdom, the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Play it.
Check. Check one. All right. This is Roy Fans out there.
Fans out there.
Let's give it up.
Oh yeah, what's up, listener? How's it hanging? Thanks for pressing play, and welcome to the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we give you comic book and superhero, TV and movie news, reviews, and whatever we choose.
Jock and Nerd!
My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
And joining us, a fella whose inner monologue is the voice of Snuffleupagus from Sesame Street. It's Rug Boy. What's up, Boy Kills
it's
Rug?
It's Elmo, Imran.
Oh, it's Elmo. That's what that's what goes on in your head. I like it better if it's Snuffy.
And he's just like, okay, bird. Oh, big bird.
Well, yeah, the guy in the movie sounds like he's got a stuffy nose, too. Yeah.
Well, the guy in the movie has had such a recognizable voice.
He sounds like that.
Yeah. we got a fun movie to review this week and a little bit of geek news, fellas. I'm reaching for straws here, but we're going to do it anyways. Let's get into it.
The Jock and Nerd podcast.
It's just this. It's slow on the geek news. What there is a lot of is rumors. Lots of rumors every day. I was trying to follow them, and then it just got exhausting. And I was like, there's just nothing but rumors. Have you guys heard any rumors? Have you seen all these rumors? There's nothing but rumors.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, for like Spider-Man 4, for Avengers 5, MC, like there's a whole like Twitter industry now, right? Of these like scoopers, and it's fascinating, but it's also exhausting.
I haven't heard any about any of this.
Oh, good. Good. Well, we're not going to talk about rumors. We'll talk about some other things, spoiling other things. There may be slight spoiler alerts, but we got McDonald's out here spoiling shit for Captain America, Brave New World. I'm just going to hit
the spoiler alert.
Because this movie has been pushed back like 3 times. It's not coming out till next February. But the promotions must flow like spice on Arrakis. You can't stop the promotions. And usually it's like Lego spoiling. This time it's McDonald's giving us a real good look at Anthony Mackie and the new Falcon. Remember that character, Danny Ramirez? Oh, Danny Ramirez is the actor. Joaquin Torres was the character from The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Sam's buddy. He is going to be the new Falcon because Sam is now Captain America. And there's a pretty good shot of his costume. It's a little comic accurate. And that's all I got. What do you guys think? Look, it's the first look at the new Falcon. Oh, my God. Look.
Yeah, you know, these are always funny that these get released, and it's like, how is this like the first look? Like, how does Marvel let that happen?
That's what I'm saying. It's awkward.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a fucking awkward look. The Sam at least looks decent.
Yeah.
I like the update on the white, you know, taking the white out.
Red goggles is not as nice.
Yeah, the goggles look better. It looks clean. The other Falcon, I mean, if you're looking at the source, you're not really drawn from much, but it looks like shit.
He kind of looks like the Vulture.
It's very generic. It's all I can say. It's generic.
They're not working with much, because if you look at that comic accurate one on the left, it looks like he's wearing a deep sleeveless V, which is like horrible as well.
Yeah, yeah. His chest needs to be bare, all exposed, wide open.
And like a forest green, brown, yellow color palette is just not It's not a very superheroic look. Green's usually like an evil
look. I don't know, but I like that he's dressed like Khan from Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, that's the look.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, you got to fucking wear the exposed chest like Ricardo Montalban
had that with that. And you need that chest hair.
They should have done that on this actor. Yeah, they should have done that.
That would have been interesting, at least.
You can add the chest hair in post.
Yeah.
It, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
they tried to do the deep V. There's like his bodysuit is black under the deep V, but it's still not.
Come on, give him the open chest. Trust the source material. Also, it looks like it's like actual feathers in the comic. The original Falcon suit was pretty good, but it was largely just like the harness with the wings. But the wings look cool. I don't know.
Hey, listen, we were happy to get anything at that point.
Yeah.
You're talking about the original and what? The show, the movie?
Well, yeah, with Anthony Mackie, his Falcon suit. Well,
the original, was whatever.
But, yeah. This looks all...
This is not good. It's not good.
His
face looks like shit, too. I mean, like, even the mask doesn't look like it fits his head.
Yeah.
They photoshopped his face in there.
Yeah, 100%.
They probably did. It's all right. It's not the greatest. The other thing...
You can tell that the mask isn't even... Like, his face isn't photoshopped center on the mask.
Well, they probably just... It clearly just put his face in that whatever model render shot. Right. It looks a little like it's too big, too, to be in the helmet. It's kind of weird.
Right. It does not fit in that helmet.
Yeah. He almost looks like fucking MODOK from Ant-Man. It's not that bad. Just stretch the face on the model. It's fine.
Those things are hard to do.
Yeah, it's hard to compositing. And McDonald's also ruining another thing. Again, I'm going to hit this.
Spoiler alert.
In their toy promotion, it's a really bad shot, but it's apparently confirming that we will see a Red Hulk. Harrison Ford's Thunderbolt Ross will be a Red Hulk, and in this article from the Direct, there's just like a really bad pixelated picture. I don't understand what this is. But, I mean, I think with him, you know, being in the movie, and I don't know if he's the bad guy, I think everybody's expecting the Red Hulk. My question again is, this Falcon doesn't have no powers. Sam don't have no powers. If it's Sentry, if it's Red Hulk, how's he fighting these people? He got no powers.
Well, Red Hulk is an interesting character because he starts off somewhat villainy, but then becomes an anti-hero. So I'm not sure where they're going with that.
Wasn't he also...
I don't know if he's going to fight, you know, Falcon or not.
He was also one of the, like, the founding Thunderbolts team members, wasn't he? Or he was in Thunderbolts? Everybody was
in Thunderbolts. He was in his own... Yeah, he was in... I mean, Thunderbolts is based off Thunderbolt Ross, I believe. But he was also in them at one point.
So I'm wondering if actual Thunderbolt is going to be in the movie Thunderbolts asterisk. But yeah, I mean that, so this movie, I feel, is in some trouble. They're doing extensive reshoots starting next month through August, May through August. That's a long time, to reshoot the movie. So it's going to be really interesting.
You could shoot another movie in that time.
Absolutely could. And maybe that's what they're doing. They brought in a new guy to write, had to do a lot of rewrites. And
so they're making it so this movie can never make its money back.
Possibly everything they're doing is costing.
They just doubled the budget.
Costing more money. We know they shot something. They showed it at CinemaCon.
So they think, this is why I think their strategy is that they're going to throw money at it until they can make it so it's not terrible. So they can at least have a critical win.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make their money back. Even if they make a lot of money with it, they're not going to make their money back.
This one they seem to be having a lot of issues with, but... Depends where the tone of like the Deadpool movie ends up and what that leaves people feeling. But we got to wait till February to see this. Listener, let us know what you think of these leaks. Join the conversation. Join our Facebook group. It's called Jock and Nerd Nation.
Jock and Nerd.
There it is. It's a closed exclusive group just for you. Link in the episode description. Get in there. Geek it up. Okay, the other thing going through reshoots, surprisingly enough, and it's not as bad of a situation, is Deadpool and Wolverine. That's out in a few months. Apparently, they are going to be doing some short reshoots in May. But I think this is just so they can film more crazy cameos and not be leaked. They can leave trails. They can throw people off, maybe by having different people on set. And Rob Liefeld on Twitter responded to one of these scoopers who said the post credit scene for Deadpool is insane. And he's like, it absolutely is. I've seen it. Expect lots of cameos. So this isn't like a Captain America situation. This, I think, is kind of cool.
What if they were meta and they actually had Cameo in the cameo?
Oh, the group Cameo that sang Word Up from the early 90s. It's a great song.
The guy
song.
Wore the cod piece.
Word Up. You know, I was in high school. I had my alarm set to like B96 radio. And for some reason, every morning, the same time when the thing would go off, Word Up would be playing. It happened like several days in a row for
me. You know
weeks.
That song, Anthony? Or is that too
I
Gen
think
X?
I've heard that before.
That's the code word. No matter where you say it, you know that you'll be heard. Come on, Word Up. Oh, you suck at DJs? You think you're fine? It's a great, it's a very straight song, but it's a great fucking 80s song. So maybe Cameo is in the cameo. Maybe there's a cameo on the website Cameo for Cameo that they shoot in the cameo. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I feel like that's what they would do. They would make it so meta and so crazy that it would be absurd.
They've also in this, he does mention, remember I talked about two-handers?
Yeah.
Not the Donald Trump dance, but.
I knew you were.
Sean Libby said he's, you know, the best two-hander stories like Midnight Run, 48 Hours, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He cited that. So I'm looking forward to this chemistry in this crazy buddy cop movie. Anthony, what do you think? What are they? What kind of cameos are they shooting in Deadpool? Is it just to hide things?
I have no idea where they're going. I mean, there's when you play with the multiverse, you can do anything. Yeah, I honestly haven't put that much thought into it, so I have no idea.
At this point, this movie, they could do fucking anything. They could do the craziest. They could get so meta. With all these reported cameos. And then the other thing regarding this movie, Sean Levy has said that viewers won't be required to do any homework. You know, the problem of these movies now where you got like Multiverse of Madness, you had to watch a lot of things to understand where Scarlet Witch was, where Doctor Strange was. A lot of homework. They're trying to make things that can be watched standalone. He says, I'm making this so you don't have to do homework. But I find that hard to believe because I feel like, wouldn't you have to watch all the Fox X-Men movies? We know they're in this. Wouldn't you have to watch Loki if the TVA is in this? Or do you think he can explain all that well enough without, like, if someone never saw a Fox X-Men movie, would this still work for them?
Not to the same degree, but I think maybe they got it so the person could follow along, like, they wouldn't know all of the things that we know, obviously, but they would be able to follow the story because they're just saying, okay, we're a time organization that follows time. So they feel like you don't need to know the other stuff. You can just enjoy it with what's there.
I think there's a difference between your story being anchored to another story versus the story is not necessarily anchored. It's just enriched if you know the past stories.
Okay. I mean, there's a giant Ant-Man fucking
which
skull.
Is how they should do it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there being a giant Ant-Man helmet, you can just pass that off. That's not necessarily anything that happened in the previous movie.
Sure.
That's like an Easter egg if you're not, for example,
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, you had to understand walking in there that Scarlet Witch... you had to have seen WandaVision.
Yeah, that she went through this whole thing.
You had to have understood that where she was at because she was a completely different person. Whereas, trying to think here, what's a Marvel story that's done that was a sequel but actually wasn't really tied to anything? We'll go with Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Ragnarok wasn't really tied to any of the other stories. But if you watch the other movies, you can understand, oh, okay, Taika Waititi killed all these guys off because he thought they were boring.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I guess, if you watch Deadpool 1 and 2.
Or let's even go with, like, Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I was going to say any of those Cap movies, really.
Right.
Winter Soldier definitely does that. You could just drop in and watch that, but.
Right. But you'd like it more if you've seen the previous movie.
What odds percentage that Taylor Swift is in the movie? What do you guys think?
Hi. Oh, she's in. That's what they're filming right now.
You think that she's, it might be like she's on tour. She's in different locations. They could sneak her in.
She could get her in as the Dazzler. And have Deadpool kill her.
Lady Deadpool or Dazzler. Oh, my God. If Deadpool kills Taylor Swift, it'd be amazing. They would get so many people upset. That movie would make a billion. All the Swifties would watch and then just get really mad. It'd be hilarious. They should definitely do that.
We need to get the Swifties involved.
Rugs, what do you think? How? What are the odds Taylor Swift is in this?
100%.
Okay, he's going 100% full on.
Because now they've recognized the Swifty power.
Yeah.
And they want to pull that in. Like, Marvel's, like, that's what they do. They want to widen their audience and make more money. And so they're going to do something like that.
I mean, they're all friends. It would be dumb not to. Dumb not to. And then finally, in the news here, Sony has changed some release dates for some of their movies. Kraven, the Hunter, that was supposed to come out this year in August, has been moved to December 13th, 2024. That was the date of that Karate Kid movie with Ralph Macchio, Jackie Chan. That has been moved to May 30th, 2025.
Oh, my God.
That one I understand, because remember in January, Sony announced we're making this movie with both versions of the Karate Kid, and it's coming out at the end of the year. And we were like, get the fuck out of here. You don't even have a person. Yeah. And they finally cast someone like a month ago, Ben Wong. Wang. I think it's Wang.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But I was
a lot
like,
of Wang jokes.
How are you going to be making this movie? They're saying that they pushed this back so that it clears the final season of Cobra Kai, which was also pushed back. So the strikes pushed a lot of things back. Anyways, Kraven. I think this is like the fourth time this movie's been moved. And I thought they felt good about this with the Aaron Taylor Johnson. Should they even bother with this movie? It's R-rated. I'm still kind of interested.
They should see if like Netflix will buy it off of them or something.
Maybe
give them like $20 million or something. I don't know. And then whatever.
I don't know how you can have any hope for Sony after we saw Madam Web. I mean, when you release like an all time Razzie movie, the floor is so low. This probably be all right because if the floor is just so below at this point for them.
Yeah, you can't. It could be.
They actively made we reviewed it, but it felt like they actively tried to make a bad movie in that one.
Yeah, the movie is hilariously bad when you think about the decision.
Well, I think that it's bad, but I don't think it's actively trying to make it bad. I just think that it
incompetence. I think
they if they were trying to make it bad on purpose, they didn't do it good enough.
Right. Right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can watch a movie that's made like Godzilla versus or Godzilla X Kong, and they threw the story right out the window. They're like, big monkeys are going to fight giant lizards, and then they don't care. Have fun. And there was no fun to be had in Madam Web, so there was nothing for them to throw to. Like, okay, we have no story. We have bad acting. We have bad ADR. And
you got to change all of this.
It doesn't make any sense, and even in the world that it exists in, so there's nothing to throw to. Like, if, you know, not even boobs, nothing.
No disaster.
Yeah, what's her name? Fucking Sweeney.
Yeah,
she's wearing a buttoned-up schoolgirl outfit the entire time.
Yeah,
I don't even get to see her a hint of her chest.
What a misstep.
Yeah,
but Kraven R-rated, so maybe it can have a little bit more punch. But they're probably gonna fuck that up. This whole thing is without Spider-Man is ridiculous. But we're gonna have to wait for that one a little bit longer. And this Karate Kid movie, really curious.
I'm curious about the Karate Kid.
I'm excited. We're gonna get Cobra Kai. I feel like it's been a long time since that last season. Stranger Things also.
Those kids are all like 35 years old at this point.
Yeah, those kids are going to be growing up. The Stranger Things, it's been like 3 years since the last season. These kids are going to be so old. They still got another season coming out, I think, later this year. So,
how long has it been since Cobra Kai? It feels like a long fucking time.
How many seasons have we had? Four?
When did that end?
Season four
or was
ended.
It five?
Five. I think it was five.
Was it five?
Yeah, there was season five ended September 9th, 2022.
2022. It'll be probably two years before we get to season six, which is
is all still TBA.
Oh, my God. I don't even remember what happened. What happened? I don't remember.
Was that the last season was...
We had Terry. What's his
Terry,
name?
Terry, yeah.
Being crazy.
And Terry. And then it ends...
Oh, Chosen. It was the Chosen season.
Kreese faked his death in prison. Barnes is there.
Oh, well, yeah.
I got to watch a recap.
Yeah, you had all the people teaming up, all his enemies teaming up from all the movies. It was crazy. They just got to get Hillary Swank. Anyways, we'll see. We'll see what happens and how that ties into, because you're going to see Ralph Macchio in that and then in this Karate Kid movie with Jackie Chan. Like, what
but,
the fuck?
But didn't they say that movie might not be related to any of this?
But how could it not be? It's the same fucking guy and the same character.
I know, that'd be bad.
That would be very strange. You have to acknowledge
this movie does not have a prayer of being good.
Oh boy. We'll see. Yeah.
It's gonna suck balls.
Oh boy.
We'll see. All right, that's it for the news. We're gonna play some promos, take a quick break, and come back and talk about a boy killing a whole world. Yeah, it happened right after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
We'll get you back to your regularly scheduled podcast in just a minute. But we wanted to introduce ourselves. I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Blake on this highly produced advertisement.
That's right. It's the History of Bad Ideas, a.k.a. Hobie. You can find us on Twitter at Bad Ideas Podcast and on Facebook at The History of Bad Ideas. But if you like a podcast roundtable with 3 to 5 guests, usually every week, depending on sick leave, talking about all things geek, including movies, TV.
I ain't getting paid for this shit.
Blake bitching about something and ranting, and comic books and anything else that we can think of. We have a top 5 list every week, along with a box office news, and somehow we have listeners, so they send us some feedback we answer every week. You can find us on iTunes,
Stitcher,
Facebook,
Spotify,
and any good podcast app, because if you can't find us on that podcast app, it's not a good podcast app.
Damn straight. Roger says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Attention podcast listeners and YouTube watchers. I'm Logan, the host of Mostly Superheroes, a weekly pursuit for the world's best stories with an emphasis on live-action superhero stuff. Every week, join me, PC Mike, The Giggler, Scotty Scoop, and Carrie as we talk MCU, DCU, books, TV, movies, and more. MostlySuperheroes.com is where you want to be. Watch us on YouTube, listen where you get your podcasts, and we'll see you Monday, Sunday on Patreon. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Listener, if you enjoy this show, this is a great time to join our Patreon fan club. Visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Jock and Nerd!
You can give back on a monthly, annual basis, and you get stuff. There's tiers, there's benefits, like access to an exclusive podcast feed where the shows come out early, bonus content, instant reactions. We do a monthly Discord hangout. You can join us there. The next one is May 16, 2024. Lots of fun to see everybody's faces and hang out. You can pick a movie for us to watch and review. There's a lot of fun things. It all goes back into the show. Thank you for the Patreons who we are continued support, those who have been giving annually, monthly. We appreciate it. Couldn't make this show without you. Join it today. Link in the episode description. Okay, let's get to this week's movie review. We picked this a random action movie that got very little promotion.
It's so little promotion that when I watched the movie on Sunday, just as a FYI, I looked on Wikipedia to reread the plot summary to see if there was anything I missed. And the plot summary was still the synopsis.
Yeah, well, it's there now. I just pulled it up. Now. But it wasn't there for, you were right, because I was looking back too to try. Now there's like a detail. It must have just went up today. The movie, of course, we are talking about is Boy Kills World. Here's your spoiler alerts.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
Not the one with Topanga and Corey. I was very disappointed not
there's
to
no
see.
There is no savage in this movie, there's but there's no plenty of savagery.
Mr. Feeny! Feeny! No, it's not it's not the sequel to Boy Meets World. This movie on Rotten Tomatoes right now, 61% tomato meter, 66% audience rating. I was not able to find a budget for this. It's not disclosed anywhere. I did see an article that said an average for this kind of movie is around $18 million, okay? I hope it's less, because this movie, opening weekend in under 2,000 theaters, has only made $1.6 million.
fellas.
Yeah, no one knows about this
movie. Nobody knows about this movie. There's barely, I mean, we'll get to it, but I didn't know what I was walking into. I saw the one trailer. Nobody, in fact, if you look at the domestic weekend opening, it opened at like number 10. Just above the Alien re-release, which made about the same money, which is, that's not a good sign. So nobody heard about this movie. Nobody really came to see this movie. It is directed by one Moritz Moore. It is his feature debut, his feature film debut. He is a German fella in his early 30s, new guy. It's produced by Sam Raimi. And it's from a screenplay by Tyler Burton Smith, Aaron Remmers, based on a story by Moritz Moore and Aaron Remmers. The movie stars as the titular boy, Bill Skarsgård, who we've seen in such things like It and Barbarian. He's going to be the Crow later this year. You got Jessica Roth as June 27. Brett Gelman from Stranger Things, Gideon Vanderkoy. Michelle Dockery as Melanie Vanderkoy, is Isaiah Mustafa as Benny, Andrew Koji as Basho. You got Yayan Ruian as Shaman. Yes, the guy from The Raid. Mad Dog from The Raid.
Right when I saw that guy, I went to myself, oh, this movie's going to have something good.
You know you're getting something good if Yaya Ruian is in it. Come on. This guy,
some action if that guy is in it.
Also in this movie, Famke Janssen, Jean Grey as Hilda Vanderkoy. Charlton Copley, who we just saw Monkey Man, also in this movie, as Glenn Vanderkoy. And the voice of H. John Benjamin. If you don't know that name, you do know his voice. He's Bob from Bob's Burgers. He's Archer. He's a very distinctive voice.
Yeah, he sounds like he needs to do some flonies.
Yes,
yeah.
Blow your nose there, H. John Benjamin. Anthony.
Yes.
What happens in this R-rated 1 hour, 51-minute movie, Boy Kills World?
Have you seen Monkey Man?
We just did.
It's the same plot.
It is almost the same plot. You're almost.
No,
it was. It's half the same plot.
Yeah. It's.
Well, it didn't have a part where it veers off and he.
No, it didn't have a part where they go into a trans community and then try to figure out where they live in, amongst all the
do
Indians.
Drugs, yeah,
and then do a bunch of drugs. There was a lot of drugs in
this
movie.
They do drugs
in
this one, yeah. There's drugs in both of them.
No, this movie is in some dystopian future, I would say, or somewhere
yeah.
ambiguous,
yeah,
where every year there's a culling and there's these people that get killed on TV, and part of one of the cullings involves this little boy and his family that gets killed, and he gets trained by some mystery man in the woods to get revenge and be the weapon to take down all the people that killed his family and are doing this culling every year in this dystopian future or whatever the fuck it is.
Yes. Essentially presented as another revenge action movie.
Revenge action movie
that we've seen a lot. I feel like
that's the well. That's an easy thing to do.
We're in the high trend area of this, right? I mean,
yeah. When you're doing action movies and you want to go, people killed family members as your premise. Yep, that's up there with buddy cop and taking down drug lords is like
family
those
members.
Are those are things.
Or your dog. Yeah. You know, fill in.
Or give me back my son.
Or give me back my son.
You're extracting someone.
So we'll get into all that. And then just to add, there's two big twists in the movie because the first half of it, I was like, this is fucking Monkey Man. This is fucking John Wick. What are we doing? It's the same fucking thing. But it's got an element of comedy and such. So what'd you think, Anthony, walking out of this crazy fucking thing?
Yeah, I'd only seen maybe one or two trailers with this movie. So I didn't really have too much in the way of knowledge of what I was walking into other than the trailers, which I thought were good. And what did I think of this movie? I wrote down just like things that this movie made me think of as I was watching.
Oh, yeah. There's tons. Let's start listing them out.
So I started. I was thinking of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, sure.
Video game type stuff.
Absolutely.
I was also thinking along those lines, Edgar Wright / Matthew Vaughn with stylized violence.
Yep.
But like played up for laughs and also like hyper real, like not realistic at times, but like hyper realistic.
Yep.
I don't even know how to describe it. I wrote down action like The Raid.
Yep, that's in there too.
And then I wrote down Hunger Games plot.
Yep.
But then I also wrote down Running Man TV show.
Yeah.
So those are all the, I mean, I'm sure there's more, but think of all those things and then blend it up and put it into a movie.
So I would throw in a little bit of Tarantino. I'd throw in a little bit of a slasher film, a little bit of a superhero movie, Battle Royale. All the, just mix all that shit up. Stir it around.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different things. This movie, I don't know that it's for everybody because it's clearly got, I saw a lot of reviews on Letterboxd where people like they were really annoyed by it.
Yeah.
Especially with the narration, all that.
Yeah.
And the, you know, violence and the mix of it and just kind of it being kind of weird. I'll tell you what, though, by the end of the movie, I was in. I loved it. I fucking loved this movie. I thought it was a slow burn for me. At first, I was like, okay, I'm getting the feel of this. It seems pretty generic, but then you've got the narration, which is different, and it's kind of a genius way to do narration. And I'm like getting around to Skarsgård as an action guy, and there's a lot of this weird comedy and the side characters and all this stuff. But then as the movie started to pick up and you had the twist and all this stuff, by the end, when they did their recreation of The Raid,
yeah,
I was over the moon for this. I thought it was awesome. I had a great time with this movie.
Nice.
I loved it. As an action movie fan, I loved it. I like it. I'm going to tell you right now, Rembrandt, I like it way more than Monkey Man.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
I think it just it clicked for me. And I realize if for some people it might not click, but I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Great action. Good, awesome fights. Made me laugh at times. I think the narration is a clever way of incorporating narration into a movie where they're telling you what's happening, but like they have a reason because he's deaf and mute.
Right.
And he thinks of the way he sounds as like that because he's never heard his own adult voice.
Right.
So that's how he thinks he sounds. I thought it was all great. I loved it.
Wow. Okay. Rugs, let's go to you. What do you think overall? We mentioned it's derivative, but does this add anything to the genre despite being derivative?
Well, it's hard for me to make this claim because I got to the movie a little bit late. So I missed the opening 5 minutes. So with this new way of you buy your seats, I usually try not to sit there until the movie comes on because I don't need to see the previews.
Yeah,
I don't need to see all of these plugs for like, you know, Dolby or whatever they fucking do.
You don't see Nicole Kidman?
No, I don't. So like I try to miss that. But for some reason, like sometimes it's 20 minutes and sometimes it's only 15.
Hmm. Yeah. When did you walk in?
I walked in 5 minutes late. I walked
what,
in.
What was your first scene?
He was training at that moment.
Oh, okay.
Wow. He just begun his training.
Yeah, you missed him being a little boy and
the setup, essentially.
Them showing his family getting shot.
Yeah, so I was kind of like confused. I'm like, why is his voice? Is this Bill Sarsgaard's voice sound like that? I'm like, why isn't he talking? Is this another one of these? Because I'd never seen the trailer.
Right.
I just saw the poster.
Oh, did you think you were watching that John Woo movie, Silent Night?
I'm like, there's a lot of these fucking. We just had Echo. How many fucking movies?
Yeah.
So I'm like, my head was spinning for about like I would say about 20 minutes, and then about 30 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm settling into this, and it does a good job because I guess it brings stuff back around, so I could figure it out.
Yep,
and by then, I was having fun. I was having fun at this movie. I had a lot of fun. I didn't know if it was a great movie because I can't judge this until I see the first 5 minutes. But with that said, I really had fun with the movie. I thought it. Some of the action sequences were good. I feel like this is a talented action director, and I like to see what he does with a bigger budget and without this voiceover stuff. There is a lot of comedy in it, and I was since I didn't see the first 5 minutes that sets the tone for the movie. I was always struggling with the comedic thing, and then at a certain point, I'm like, this is like a black comedy.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
This is like it's meant to be funny, and they're not taking it that serious. And yeah, it was fine. Like, I thought it was really fun. I thought the action scenes were good. I thought Skarsgård was impressive. I felt like he could carry the movie, even though he wasn't even talking. He was physically carrying the film and the action sequences. So, like, there's a lot of good stuff in here.
How does it make you any more confident for him taking over as the Crow?
I think maybe that's the reason why they're reshooting some things,
mm-hmm.
or delaying it. I feel like the biggest thing that the Crow has against it is that it's veering off the goth thing. So how do they put the goth back in? Is with the soundtrack and maybe some Crow stuff. So if they maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're trying to change the soundtrack around and maybe add a little bit more of those gothic elements. If they do that, I'm just wondering why they're, what's their reaction to how badly people have received this, their trailer for the Crow.
Well, they pushed the Crow back too.
Yeah. So they might be tweaking it, or they might trying to a safer date for it where it might do better.
Yeah.
But this is good for the Crow, right? This is actually good for the Crow. So even though my thoughts on the Crow are like not good, this makes me want to see it more because Bill Skarsgård impressed me in this movie.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's good for the Crow. I don't know if the Crow is going to be a great Crow movie, but sometimes a movie being based off something actually hurts it. I think in that, right. in this case,
yeah.
Like the fact that this is not based on anything and it's just derivative.
Yeah.
Like you could give it a pass for like, but for the Crow being called the Crow and him being called Eric Draven, that comes with so much baggage.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like he impressed me. He kept up with like Ruya, whatever his name is.
Yaya Ruyan.
Yaya Ruyan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kept up with Yaya.
By the way, how old is that guy? He still looks amazing. He still
don't matter.
Oh my God.
He knows what he's doing.
I also, at the end of this movie, I was very entertained. Like I said, I had no idea.
55 years old, by the way.
Oh, he's only 55? All right, he's got some time.
Only 55. Only.
He's older than Imran.
He looks good. No, he's not older than
me. Yes, he is.
I'm 73. I could do those moves. There was only like 10 people maybe in my theater. I had no idea what I was walking into. I also was entertained. I love the hyper-violence in this. And it's funny, like we're in this age where the trend, like just how Die Hard became clones in the 90s. We have John Wick clones now. Everything is a revenge flick. But I feel like the humor, and it does have a little bit of personality, set it apart. The action scenes in this movie are great. You really feel the impact. There is some shaky cam, some close choppy editing, but there's also parts where it's wide open and you can clearly tell.
Yeah,
it's Skarsgård doing the moves.
Yeah, it's a little mixed. I think the action scenes when they really hit are really good. The only criticism I have, and I'll put it back to you, is there is a little shaky cam at some points.
Yeah,
and then CGI blood always is kind of
that's
like
the worst. And it's that's like a budget thing, and that would always pull me out. A lot of the blood, there's a lot
but
of
it does kind
of
like fit the hyper tone, the weird like
the video game-ness it. It's very heavy into video games, all those things we mentioned, and clearly he loves all that stuff, but it's all stuff I love too. Skarsgård is great. Some people mentioned him, he resembled like a little Jean-Claude Van Damme in this movie. I could see that.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, this kind of long and lanky. And
well, he looks like Ken from Street Fighter.
Yes, he does. Oh, my God. And this did make me feel better about the Crow. I was like, look, he could do the physical stuff. Clearly, he could do the hand-to-hand fight choreography was fucking amazing. There's way more action in this than Monkey Man. Like, I was comparing a lot of it to Monkey Man. There's a lot of similarities, but then the twist makes it different. There's way more action, but at times it's almost too much. Like, I could have used a little bit more straight.
It's a short movie, though.
It is a short movie.
You don't really feel like it's overstaying its welcome.
No, and the problem is all the story in between stitching the action scenes is not the greatest, right? That's my only issue. It's a little predictable. Characters are a little thin. But the humor, it was equally making me go, oh, ow, shit. And then also laughing back and forth, which I really enjoyed. The trippy moments in the beginning.
Yeah, you got it like that. The eyeballs falling out.
Yeah, the teeth falling out. The eyeballs just falling out of his head. I was like, "The fuck is going on?"
Well, it's like there is a lot of fun stuff. There is the cheese grater.
Oh, the cheese grater. Oh, my God.
Cheese grater was painful to watch, but what a creative use. A lot of creative kills. The fucking brass knuckles with the gun attached to it.
That's cool.
So you would punch and shoot.
The cheese grater, that's the perfect encapsulation of what you mentioned earlier about oohing and then also laughing. Because the scene prior, he's trying to act like a cook. So he's walking around the mansion just cheese grater.
Yeah, in the hallway and shit.
In the hallways. And then he uses it later. Yes. And I always reference this, but when an action movie makes me go, oh, audibly, I'm like, that's good action.
And there's a lot of moments in here that do a lot of stabbings, a lot of arms getting chopped off the cheek. And then when he finds the macaroons is also hilarious because the voice in that is like, oh, my God, what is this? This is the most incredible. And he takes a bite while he's fighting.
It does make me think of Matthew Vaughn. You guys nailed that.
Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn. And the guy from Scott Pilgrim.
Edgar Wright. It's the same style.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But then, you can
tell Moritz Moore, who's the director, was clearly likes that kind of feel.
But then when you get Yaya Rui on, it's straight up The Raid. And some of these kills reminded me of The Raid. And that fight is brutal.
Well, he probably handed the reins over to him at that point and said, look, give me good shit to shoot.
Yeah. We should definitely talk about that fight. But prior to that fight, since we're already there, what did you guys like the twist?
Let's talk about the two big twists. So twist number one, we are presented as if his family was murdered by the Vanderkoys and the shaman.
Skarsgård's character.
The boy shows up to, they set up decoys. He kills the fake thing, and then he shows a picture that him and his. There's also, we didn't even mention, he talks to the ghost of his dead sister, who he thinks is dead the whole time, which that's kind of funny. So the first twist is Hilda Vanderkoy, the bad guy, is his mom.
Right.
And he actually helped her systematically execute people for this TV show. The shaman's family being one of the families, and he gets away.
Well, he didn't want to do it. You can tell.
Yes.
He was shaking.
Yes. He was conflicted. And then he runs off into the forest. And then we learn that the shaman is the one who burned his eardrums and cut his tongue off and brainwashed him with psychedelics to believe what they showed us in the beginning, that his family was killed and he needs to take revenge on the Vanderkoys. And then the other twist is that June 27th character is actually his sister, and she's still alive. And the twist was, did you kind of see it coming? I knew something was coming, but
I didn't completely see it coming, but I was also like, this movie is super formulaic. Because
up until then, it was exactly like every other movie.
I was just wondering why this chick had this helmet on.
I love that helmet with the LED messages that it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's Daft Punk, so she just loves Daft
Punk. Yeah, so Daft Punk. Yeah, I love that. But then he didn't...
Well, that was the Easter egg, though. Like, I was like, okay, this chick's got the helmet. That means something. That's going to come along in the end. She's going to get the helmet off, and then it's going to mean something.
Right.
I didn't know what, because I had missed the first 5 minutes of the movie. But...
does it make you... Because here's what, like, the kind of the thing that kind of hinges on that is... Okay, he was brainwashed, but then his sister still he still hates his mom, right? Like, he doesn't want to be with his mom. His sister kills his mom. But then you think the story's over, and then he has to fight against the guy that trained him, the shaman.
So this is...
Like, does that all work for you? Like, all those different, like, now he's fighting the shaman?
The hero, yes. The mentor becomes the monster. That's a crazy twist. I like that twist because that
could have been done way better, but it's fine for this movie.
Yeah.
It's a little clunky to get there, but it leaves you with one final boss battle that you
didn't know
you wanted, you were waiting for, and it's fucking amazing.
The thing is, like, if you're going to do something, it feels rushed and not earned, but at least you get the payoff of a good fight.
I agree. Like, if they didn't have that fight at the end, I would have been like, this movie's fine.
Yeah.
And again, that fight at the end is clearly like copying The Raid. Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a 2-on-1. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a 2-on-1 with the fucking same guy, and the same guy is like brutal.
Yeah.
But it does have the stylized violence, and it's just, even though it's almost a direct copy, it's still so good that I was like, this is fucking awesome. This is awesome.
I mean,
this little guy's kicking their ass again.
He's got those little claws, and he's just fucking cutting the boy up.
Tearing him apart.
With those claws and fighting the girl. Oh, fuck. It was great. It was brutal. Like, all the violent. It's so hyper-violent, and you feel these impacts, and I really loved how some of it was shot.
I mean, you had to be. I mean, you knew you were in for something when the dude, that one dude that's, like, on, amphetamines or some shit.
Oh yeah, there's
like gets his jaw broken and he rearranges his jaw back.
Yeah, to keep fighting. Yeah, there's some and they don't really explain that. There's some inhalant rage drug that makes you like a rage zombie. But yeah, he like stabs him in the mouth and then he has to cut his hand off.
Oh, when he has his arm caught and he does like a twist around to rip his own arm.
Like, oh, like, oh my, everybody went, oh my god, and he pulls it out. And then Basho is just like, yeah, like I said, that guy has issues. One of the hilarious things was when they meet Benny, and Benny is mumbling, and he just hears like, bobble dabble apple top him. And he's like, oh, this isn't good. That's clearly not what he said. And he's like,
and he's imagining what he's saying. Yes,
and it's all wrong. It's like, curtain, briefcase, curtain. He's like, that kid. Oh, this, and the whole plan, he's telling him the plan. He's like, I have no idea what's going on right now. This is all very, but he learns to read lips. Which is convenient because sometimes he knows exactly what's going on, and other times it's hilarious because he's not sure what's going on. But he's committed, man. Skarsgård was committed this whole time to just doing this performance. I saw a thing about the fighting styles. You'll notice like there's Taekwondo kicks, there's Muay Thai, there's boxing, there's Filipino martial arts, which is the stick fighting.
Kali, yeah.
There's Indonesian Penchak Salat, like in The Raid. And he fights like an animal, a lot of ground and pounds, like great shit. Like the fights, the hand-to-hand fights were great. The TV show set where he's fighting.
What do you think about the TV show?
I thought that
fight
was all fucking great too. Like when they got guns, it's great. When he's just jumping around, hacking people. He shot that dude in the groin from underneath, like through the head.
Slaughtering people on camera.
Oh my God.
I thought the calling was like a letdown. I thought it'd be a bigger production. It looked kind of boilerplate. Production wise,
I mean, it was Hunger Games, generic Hunger Games, right? It's essentially the way they're dressed and everything. Oh, how about so Charlton Copley again, like Monkey Man, has a short scene, but a very memorable. But that scene where they got him down and the guy's holding a heavy metal object and Glenn is pleading for his life.
The guy that originally was like, I'm gonna be the cart pusher. I'm going to push the car.
Oh, yeah. Basho and the boy, and he's about to like smash his head in. And Charlton Copley's character's like, no, no. I'll get you in. I'll work with you. You let me live. I'll take him down. I hate him. And he's holding this heavy metal thing for a long time. And I know he's going to drop it. And at the very end, he just drops it and smushes his head. Everybody's like, oh, but I was like, I knew that was going to happen. It's fucking hilarious. So it's got dark humor that I thought was good. There's just like, you don't really get to know a lot about the bad guys are kind of one dimensional, whatever. But I think that
Famke Janssen. Yeah, they are one dimensional. They do like play up as Famke Janssen as the main bad guy. But then you realize that they've been hiding her in like a basement because she's just gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
And they only like bring her out for certain occasions.
So the grandmother's still there.
Yeah, grandmother's still
sitting there. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Grandmother's actually still just part of the actor. Like, there's all the actors and actresses, and she's just sitting there.
But the grandma was real, which was hilarious, the decoy family. Famke Janssen, she maybe had a little work done. Did anybody notice that?
I did not notice.
Looks a little different. I don't
know. Yeah, she looks...
did some stuff. She didn't need to. I don't know why.
What's with the dude betraying his own family?
Oh, Gideon at the end?
Yeah.
The brother-in-law or the brother?
Yeah, he like gave boy the knife because he was like, I'm tired of this shit.
That's right. He slips him the thing so he can cut his way out. There's a lot happening. Yeah. And then she shoots him in the back, but he does end up helping.
Boy kills him.
Yeah.
Even though he ended up helping him.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess one of their family.
You gotta die.
Somebody had to help.
The big thing, I think, well, there's many things, but I think one of the main things that if you're either going to like or not like this movie right off the bat is if you like the voiceover.
Well, yes. And I was going to mention, like, H. John Benjamin, his comedic timing is fantastic. The thing is, it's such an iconic voice. And Ruggs, what you missed was it's a voice from a video game in the movie that him and his sister used to play.
Yeah, I got it at the end.
So he adapts it. Luckily, they show these flashbacks throughout the movie, just like Monkey Man. It was funny, but it's a weird disconnect at the same time. It's a little jarring.
I feel like that voice is way too well known.
Yeah.
And you just associate him with the cartoon.
Yeah. Mm.
It would have been like an actor maybe would have worked better that we know, like Al Pacino or something. Or Christopher Walken would be fun.
So I don't know why they did this, because
the fact that it's Bob's Burgers,
it's fucking Bob from Bob's Burgers.
It was weird.
It's like having Homer Simpson fucking narrate the thing, right? Originally, this film premiered at the TIFF Festival back in September, and apparently the voiceover was done by Skarsgård, but then they changed it after the festival.
It took me a while to get in, but then. Yeah. By the end, I was like, I'm in on that, too.
He's so funny when the guy's like, oh, damn it, or just fuck. I love that guy's comedic timing. He's really funny. And it added a bunch of humor in the fight scenes where he's constantly talking. It was a little much. I don't know.
I was so happy by the end of the movie. And I know a lot of it, like, they try to have some heart at the end, and I don't know if it necessarily works.
Yeah, a little
like
bit.
The whole brother sister thing.
Yeah.
But when you end the movie with a really awesome fight, it just makes everything so much better.
It's always good. No, you're right. Yeah.
And that fight is just so, like, it's just so good, and it's just so brutal.
Yeah,
I mean, it's completely copies. Like, I can't stress it enough. If you've seen The Raid, you're seeing the same fucking shit.
Yeah.
At the end of this movie,
but it's and you still might be like, great. "How the?"
But it's still, it's so good.
It's fucking badass. So unlike Monkey Man, at the end, the boy survives. The sister survives, right. And there's a post credit scene.
Was there?
Yes.
Is there?
I waited for it.
I missed it.
Very end. It's very short. It's a lot like the shawarma scene from Avengers. It's just the boy and the sister eating that cereal. The Frosty Puffs or whatever.
Oh.
They're just sitting there eating cereal, like, after going through this battle. That was it. But I look, there's some world building going on. You could certainly expand on this. I would love to know more about the world. Maybe this was all filmed in South Africa also, which is why it felt like a weird, I didn't know where they were. It was just like this weird city in the jungle.
Could have been anywhere. It didn't feel like anywhere in the U.S.
No, but I like that it was like post-apocalyptic, like the trees were overgrown, but people are still living in these buildings. And then the jungle's right there or something. It's strange. But yeah, it's got the TV show element, the Running Man element, the Hunger Games. I wouldn't mind another one maybe, following the boy some more, because, I don't know, now he knows. Now...
it's more like Boy Kills City.
Yeah, he didn't really kill the world. He killed his world, maybe.
Hmm. Man, I feel like this is the type of movie that it's probably not going to make a ton of money, but I think it's going to be something that action movie fans will go back to and be like, "Hey, did you ever watch that movie?"
Yeah. Oh yeah. Fucking good. No, I think this could be like a huge cult hit moving forward. But it is.
It reminds me a lot of what's that fucking movie I watched with the Swedish guy or the Nordic guy killing a bunch
Sisu.
Of Nazis. Sisu.
That's another revenge movie, isn't it? I gotta watch that one.
Kind of similar to that.
What do we think about this trend? You know, in this case, I'm kind of enjoying the John Wick trend.
As long as they're 90-minute movies, I'm good.
They shouldn't be too long, and try to throw something fresh in there. I think Monkey Man had added a little bit of style. This adds style in a different way. I want to
say this. I mean, this has like John Wick revenge, but and like action, but it's a little bit more. I wouldn't compare it to completely John Wick.
Okay.
I think it leans more the Edgar Wright,
Matthew Vaughn,
type shit.
Kingsman kind of stuff.
Kingsman, yeah.
Hmm.
Where it's that stylized violence.
Beekeeper, maybe?
I was thinking Beekeeper. Too. Is another...
I mean, I don't know if anyone is watching a bunch of these, but I feel like we're in a pretty damn good time for action.
Right?
I feel like I'm entertained by a lot of the stuff that's coming out.
It's crazy.
It's not big budget tentpole films.
Yeah.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
They're allowed to play a little bit more loose, take some more risks. Just entertain people instead of trying to browbeat people into things.
Nobody.
I mean, it feels almost kind of like this might be sacri- it feels like the 80s and 90s where they just made movies that were kind of fun.
Yeah.
Got kicking ass.
Yeah.
The only thing that's missing, unfortunately, and this is a big miss, there's just no boobs anymore in these movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we discussed this. It's always man ass now. We're in the man ass phase.
You don't get the boobs anymore.
But yeah, if they made this back then, I could see Van Damme in this. Absolutely. No problem. Like, that's how you use them. You don't have him talk. And he puts in a great... I mean, Skarsgård acts with his eyes a lot. Like, you could follow his thoughts along with...
I think the acting was pretty solid for this movie. Yeah. Nobody was really terrible.
It gives me hope for... A little hope for The Crow, which is not coming out August.
Like, Madam Web, the acting was so
atrocious.
Bad.
Just nobody wanted to be there. You could tell. But these guys are having fun. So, okay, let's rate this movie, Anthony. Final thoughts.
I really like this movie.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Letterboxd is like very split on this movie. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, I think, was 60%.
Yeah.
But I like this movie a lot. I'm going 8.5
out of 10. Shit. Wow. Okay.
I all the things I mentioned, all the different things that this guy's clearly pulling from.
You liked it better than Monkey Man. If you were to.
Oh yeah, I would watch this movie 100 times over Monkey Man.
All right.
And here's why: Monkey Man has some good action.
Yeah.
Just as we talked about, Monkey Man gets real boring for me in the middle. This movie, it doesn't let you get bored.
Yeah.
It'll keep it. Anytime you get bored, it shoots cocaine into your face.
Wasn't it? It wasn't too much. At times, I was like, "This is exhausting."
It might be too much. It might be too much, but I'd rather have it to be too much than too little.
All right. Rugs.
This movie slaps you in the face with its dick every time you get mad.
When you even think about reaching for your phone.
No, it doesn't slap you in the face. It punches you in the balls and go, hey, wake up.
Yeah.
Nut taps you.
Yeah.
I feel like Monkey Man as a first time out directing thing.
They're both first time out directors here.
You feel that Dev Patel needs to improve his game a little bit. He has shown a lot of promise too, but he lingered on things too long. He used flashbacks in a way that kind of ruined his story a little bit. And yeah, he was out in the weeds for a while, but he was very resourceful. Like this movie though, it's short. It's to the point. It's got a lot of comedy in it. And it does have a better directed action, and it feels like it's got a bigger budget. So I think that Monkey Man was like $10 million or something.
Yeah, I think so.
So this is like double the budget, probably.
Possibly.
But yeah, I think I had more fun with this movie. I think they're both good movies. Yeah. But I feel like this one's also very good.
Give me a number.
I'm going to say 7.5.
Okay. I'm going to say I like both this movie. I'm just going to compare it to Monkey Man. I like both of them for different reasons. I think overall Monkey Man has a better story, maybe more fleshed out characters.
Yeah.
This movie, a lot more fun, though. A lot more dynamic. Yeah. And I feel there should be a balance. Like, I thought the balance of action and story in Monkey Man was pretty good. Could use a little more action. This one, the balance is the other way. Maybe a little restraint on the action, a little more story. But both of these guys have potential. I love the influence both of these guys are pulling from. And it is great to be in this trend where these guys who love all these things we like are making these fucking hyper-violent movies that are just over the top. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10, though. I did enjoy it. I like Monkey Man a little bit better.
Nobody went to go see this weekend.
Here's so maybe, the problem. Nobody.
Maybe
yes,
people
a million,
will see it next weekend.
It made a million, fucking million and a half. It's ridiculous. Even the Monkey Man made more. Like,
there,
that's
there was,
crazy.
There was no marketing.
Yes. Yeah. The people producing this also produced Barbarian, but they didn't. Yeah.
The guy.
The title
one
is
of the guys
stupid.
Was Sam Raimi.
Well, yeah. Sam Raimi and the other.
I feel like
the title is bad.
The title is a bad move. It's a bad title.
And, it's a bad title because everyone thinks, oh, Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World, yes. He doesn't really kill the world. I'm seeing commercials for it now, but yeah, the promotion, they save money on the promotion. It's going to need word of mouth. Would you recommend to somebody go see this in the theater? I would say yes. You could wait till streaming. But
you could probably wait. But it's fucking fun.
But it's fucking, it's a fun time.
I know Ruggs didn't see this because he came in late to the movie, but in my trailers for the movie, I don't know, Imran, if you've seen this,
Which
there
one?
Was a trailer for Kill.
Oh, yes.
And that looks fucking awesome.
That is another, this is a Bollywood movie, and you want to talk about hallway scenes. This whole thing takes place on a train, and the trailer just had lots of close action, hand-to-hand martial arts fight scenes. I was like, holy shit, we're going to have to go see this.
We are. In fact, we should watch the trailer and then talk about it real quick here.
Okay. It's just, let's do it right now.
It's a Snowpiercer, but without the sci-fi.
Bollywood Snowpiercer. I did not hear about this movie. It's called Kill. Okay, we're going to pause. Everybody pull up this trailer. Where you found it?
I put the Red Band trailer in the thing.
Okay.
Talking nerd.
Okay, I remember when this, in the theater, when this trailer was playing, people were already fucking gasping.
Because
there's a shot where a dude gets stabbed in the eye. There's lots of stabbings, and it's in the trailer. It says India's bloodiest, most goriest movie ever. Like, for this to come out of Bollywood. So it looks like they're on a train and terrorists take over and one guy's got to kill them all. But I kept thinking about like the raid and the hallway fight scene. I'm like, this whole movie is a fucking hallway fight scene.
What it looks like is the Indian version of your Die Hard on a train.
Yeah.
But with hyper violent John Wick type action.
Yeah, this guy looks, I mean, he's killing people with a fire extinguisher in the mouth and just the toilet and sliding them up and down. When does this come out? It's, July 5th. I wonder if it's July 5th in this country or in India, but wow, Bollywood. Now you got my attention.
So it's like the third or fourth action on a train movie. So you got Train to Busan.
Yes.
You got Bullet Train.
But this is India's version.
And then you got Snowpiercer.
That's the Korean. Yeah. And then the India's going to make
one. You know, you're forgetting one really good one.
What's that?
Under Siege.
That one is on a train. That's right. Jesus.
Steven Seagal.
No, there is a lot of train movies, but this one.
Yeah, that one's a train movie as well.
That one's a train movie too, where he's hanging off the poster.
Snakes on a train.
Holy shit. Oh, there's snakes on a train. Yeah, watch the, it's just called Kill. Red Band trailer. Oh, that's going to be, look, we're in the golden age of these fucking action film clones.
We're in the age of, like these hyper-violent, hand-to-hand, gun-fu. It's like what John Woo was doing, but like with like the Raid influence and Wick.
Yeah, combining all of it. So it's been building up for like a decade.
You either get that or you get the big spectacle ones like Mission Impossible,
right,
or your Fast and Furious.
Like what we'll probably review next week, The Fall Guy, big budget, big stunts.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Kind of thing. So it's not bad. Action movies.
What do you think of this era of action movies?
You're having a day.
I'm happy that we have some action films.
Mm-hmm.
They are good in their own way. I think I have the most fun with them when they're kind of hearkening back to the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think that we have a couple of, we definitely have some great action movies. They're all borrowing from other ones. That we've seen before, like the classic Hong Kong stuff and the stuff from that we've seen from Asia is always set the bar real high. So the fact that all these kids that are growing up are now directors and they're incorporating that stuff. Yeah, it's a good time. I just don't think that it's going to always be these low budget films that are really going to, just like they did back in the day when you see all these Canon films and Jean-Claude Van Damme movies were like not big, huge budgets. Mm-hmm.
That's why I think this Boy Kills World, it's going to be like this underrated.
It's very similar to like watching a Van Damme cyborg.
Yeah.
It's a big, or something like that.
It's going to get discovered once on streaming. People are like, this movie's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I think that's right. Because you've got still your Stallone, Schwarzenegger, not like it to that level of testosterone, but you still have the big budget with your Mission Impossibles and your John Wick's now at this point and your Fast and Furious. But then you have all these like mid-tiers things that are coming out, like the Extractions and this and the Monkey Man and, you know, all the other fucking, you have a lot more exposure to the international stuff and all the international people were watching all these other things. And now they have outlets to release their stuff. And like, we can easily find them. Whereas before, the only things that people could find that were international were the Hong Kong things.
Yeah,
they're becoming franchises into like the extraction franchise is now a thing. Right. I know that the Beekeeper is going to be a thing now.
Oh, the Beekeeper. That's a fucking good movie, too.
That's a fun movie. I hope that they just, you know, they build upon the past and evolve it.
And then you still have your old guys, too, like Denzel with...
Equalizer.
Equalizer, yeah.
You got Old Man Action. Old Man Action is definitely a genre.
And, Old Man Action is big.
But I think you're right about the international movies are adding a lot into this. Now the Indonesian films, the Korean films.
Yeah, so now we have more people kind of contributing and adding their flavor to
Mix
it.
Mix it all up, yeah.
And India is just jumping in with a big one. I mean, you had RRR.
Yeah, they give us RRR. It's a big, big spectacle. And now fucking Kill? Are you kidding me? Jesus.
Monkey Man?
Monkey Man's great. I did.
Although Dev Patel's from the UK, but yes.
Yeah.
I think that the more successful... the scene is, because like every country's got their own version of Hollywood,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the Indian scale, it's very big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it's called Bollywood. I mean, they have a lot of investors, they have money, they have capital, so they can do this stuff. And so when a lot of these countries start producing these films, they start out real small. Like Ang Bak was like a very small film, but it just caught fire. And The Raid was a very small film too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that caught fire. So I think that when these things are supported by audiences in the US, they really start to see. It's good that we check these things out. So RRR, that thing exploded.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it got huge.
Yeah.
So we don't have them here. They're happening somewhere else. Cause the universal language of action is, you know, it's spoken everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skarsgård. He was in John Wick 4 also. As he was that guy.
Really do much in that.
No. Which one was he? No, that was Scott Adkins I'm thinking of.
Wait, was Skarsgård in one of the
I thought he
Wick
was
movies?
In John Wick 4.
He was.
Yeah, he's the guy that's playing like on the roof with him and like taunting him, right?
Yeah.
I totally forgot which character.
Yeah,
he was
in Jock. Yeah. He's Marquis Vincent de Gramont.
Oh, that guy. Oh, he was the Marquis.
He had the crazy suits.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He didn't really... I don't really remember him.
I don't remember him from that either.
He's got a look. The thing about him is he's got like a clear like look to him.
Yeah,
he's
got that
distinct
Cro-Magnon brow, you know?
Like, yeah, he looks like he's fucking caveman, but then he's got a tall, lanky body.
He was in Eternals. He was Crow in Eternals. I didn't even fucking remember that.
What? Oh, because Crow's a CGI character.
Oh, right. Oh, he did the voice. That was the bad guy. That's right. No, I think Skarsgård with this, we'll see how the Crow
does.
Well,
he was
does.
It. That's what
and he was Pennywise.
It.
Yeah, and he's in Barbarian, which a lot of people like. But anyways...
He's
going. Action movies are fucking still alive. We're going to get more. Let's do some news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It's time for news from the nation.
It stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
Flapper. Like I said, nobody saw this movie, so I put that fucking... comment thread.
Did you even put something in the thing?
Jamie Robinson was like, I want to see this movie. I haven't. And then Samuel Meadows just wrote, saw this last night, was awesome. That's all we got. But the real thing.
The only thing this movie needed is Conor McGregor.
Oh my God. Would that help? You just got to watch the other movie. Roadhouse, again, another similar, like, over the top action, same kind of
I like
thing.
This way more than Roadhouse.
I think I like this better than Roadhouse too. It was fun. But the main question I have here in News from the Nation is for you, Anthony.
Oh.
Johnny Hamper reached out. Listener Johnny Hamps.
Oh, keep walking, John. I follow you.
He's also, we used to all work together many years ago. Were you there when he was there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's now also built quite a following over on Instagram. He's known as the Galactic Chef. You can follow him, Galactic Chef, at Galactic Chef, on Instagram, where he makes Star Wars-inspired food. And he's been doing pretty good over there. He's been on like local TV and shit, and you can learn how to make Star Wars hors d'oeuvres for a Star Wars party. May the 4th is coming up. May the 4th be with you. But here, he wrote in to say, can Anthony speak to the Bears draft? I am so pumped right now.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what he's talking about. What happened?
Oh, yeah, the Bears. Yeah, no, I'm with you, Hamps. I am all in on the Bear right now. No, not the TV show either.
Oh, the show Bears. Is great.
Okay. Yeah, no, not that. Yeah, no, the Bears had a drafted a quarterback and a wide receiver, and they're looking to turn around their franchise. And yeah, I'm pumped.
These are good
I'm
picks. What's that dude's name?
Caleb Williams was the number one pick. Okay. Yeah, and he supposedly could be like an all-time great quarterback. So we'll see what happens. He does paint his nails, though.
Well, that's all right. This shouldn't affect throwing the ball unless he puts the paint on the wrong side of his fingers.
Paints his nails pink sometimes.
That's to distract the opponent and then throws the ball.
No, I'm all in. I love the number one. Obviously, the number one pick goes without saying. I'm all in on that. Number nine, Roma Dunze. Great, awesome pick at number nine. Glad he came to us. Glad he got him there. And then I like their later picks. So I like the tackle they got. They got a good kicker. They got good defensive end.
So the Bears could finally be something after all these years.
Yeah, there might be something. So
you think this guy will produce like in year one, or will it take
some
time?
He's going to start 100% year one, and he's going to be awesome.
And then follow up, what is with their stadium? I thought they were going to Arlington Heights, and they tore down the racetrack, Arlington Racetrack.
They did buy that land, but
they raised it.
The taxes on that land are...
And they bailed.
So they might bail on it and build something in the city. Who knows? It's all... we'll see.
I saw the rendering of that other field. That would just be like down from Soldier Field where it is now.
Tear down Soldier Field. And build
the rendering looked amazing. I was like, this is going to cost a lot of fucking money. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're going to pay for it.
That sucks. Like, yeah. Taxpayers pay for like these millionaire athletes, and then you pay on top of that to see them play. What the fuck is going on? It's great.
It's great. That's America.
Can I opt out to the sports tax? I don't watch any of this shit. But whatever, they're gonna build shit. Okay, there you go, Hamps. Got any more questions, let us know, just for you. Let's finish with, what are we watching? Anthony, you watched anything?
No, I was all in on the draft. And trying to pick up golf, so I spent a lot of my time this weekend
really
hitting balls over and over.
And how are your balls?
Not straight right now.
Okay,
we'll work on
they're hooking. Just turn your body the other way, and then it'll go straight. I don't know. That's a fucking hard sport.
That's right.
Ridiculous. I don't know how you hit a ball on the ground with a stick with a thing on the end of it. It's impossible.
It's very difficult to pick up. Yeah, you know, that's
right. It's a lot harder than it looks, because I've tried, and I'm like, oh, fuck this. I'll stick to the mini golf. Ruggs, what did you watch?
For shits and giggles, I watched Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, that's the third one.
No, the second one. Where they redo The Wrath of Khan.
I've seen it. I can't remember what happens.
So the first time I watched it, I was enraged that they tried to remake The Wrath of Khan, because it's like the best movie out of all Star Trek.
Yeah.
And they changed so much stuff around, and they made all the character beats so terrible that I fucking hated this movie.
That's the one.
But you want to know something?
Yeah.
After watching all these horribly written movies and all these horrible fucking mindless characters that don't do anything.
Yeah.
This actually, even though it's a terrible movie, has better character stuff, has better dialogue and banter and thrills than a lot of the movies that I've seen come out since this movie's been out.
Okay.
So I don't think it redeems itself. It's not still a terrible movie. It's still like the logic of some of the stuff that they're doing is ridiculous. But at least it was entertaining. I was entertained watching it even the second time, even though I knew what was going to happen. And that's J.J. Abrams. I don't know.
The cast is great. I love the first one. This is the one where they go in the other timeline and both Spocks are there or something.
No, that's the first movie.
Oh, that's the first movie.
This is Wrath of Khan. This is it. Some guy.
Isn't Leonard Nimoy in this one, too?
For like a second.
Oh, okay.
So some guy was a terrorist, blowing shit up. He becomes enemy number one. And so they send Kirk to hunt him down. And he's like, and everybody on the ship is all mad because, like, they're supposed to be scientists that explore shit. Why are they acting like the police trying to fucking get this guy? Oh. But so he goes and, you know, and all of a sudden they try and get this guy, but he flips the script on them. And all of a sudden he's manipulating everybody.
This is where
moving his pieces
around.
This is the one
with Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch is kind of
insane. Yeah, I saw this in the theater.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Why'd you go see this in the theater?
don't know. I like the first Star Wars.
The first one is great. Yeah, it's a great cast. Khan, Noonien, and Singh. That's right. Cumberbatch being Khan. Yeah. I don't remember this one.
That's the only thing I watched. And I was I was entertained by it, even though if you try and think about what the logic of putting people in cryo tubes in missiles.
Yeah.
I guess it's a ruse to get them off the planet. I don't know, but none of that shit made sense. Then Kirk dies and then they bring him back in 2 seconds.
I got to watch this.
So his death means nothing.
Alice Eve is hot. They should have more Alice Eve.
They have Spock yell Khan in this one, right?
Yeah. So Alice Eve is like in a bra and panties for no apparent reason. Just so they have it for the trailer.
That should be the whole movie.
Yeah. So very strange.
But you did not watch the latest episode of X-Men 97.
Can you tell me what it was about?
Episode 7 was the fallout from the Genosha thing, and Rogue is really mad and she flies off, and spoilers. Captain America makes it. Did you see Captain America? Makes an appearance. She's got a shield.
I don't remember it at all. I watched it. I don't remember it at all.
Also, Jubilee convinces Sunspot to come out to his mom about being a mutant, and she already knew. And then we also find out, spoilers at the end, Magneto is alive, and this dude Bastion is actually the guy pulling the strings, giving the orders to Mr. Sinister. He has Magneto hostage.
I think I might have fallen asleep at that
was
point.
At the very end. Cable's in this, and some other stuff happened.
Doesn't he find out that Cable's his son in this one too?
Scott meets Cable. I like seeing Captain America in the whole shield thing, and then there's OZT Plan and Madripoor, and stuff happens.
A lot packed in that episode. I fell asleep towards the end. There was a lot going on.
So there's three left, and it's like a three part finale of the series.
It's been good.
Taking us to episode
overall pleased with it.
Okay. Did you watch the finale of Shogun?
Yes, I did.
Oh, let's get into that again.
Spoiler alert.
How did you think that ended? I'm really curious.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, you know what? I was a little, it's not what I expected, but the whole show has been unexpected. Every episode. The finale is no different. If you're expecting a battle, you ain't getting it. It's a very different finale. And it's a good ending because the book, I believe, ends a similar way. I thought episode 9 was like the best episode of the whole series.
I feel like they did the first thing that they did wrong was open on the white dude in bed as
Blackthorne in the future as an old man.
They should never have shown that.
That was weird.
Then you know he makes it out alive.
Yeah, that was strange. That was strange.
So you already destroy the stakes of the episode.
That's a good point. I don't know why they did that. They do mention that his fate is to stay in Japan. And in fact, the real Blackthorne, a lot of his men did survive, about 10 of them, and they did end up staying in Japan and like having families. And I think the real Blackthorne also did. But essentially, we saw Crimson Sky was everything that happened in the last episode, causing Lady Ochiba to flip. And then he tells you what he thinks is going to happen in this big battle. But I believe in real life, a battle did happen, and like thousands of people.
Yeah, they should have done it. They should have paid it off. I think they were trying to be like a smell your own fart ending. And no, you got to have a payoff. This guy's been fucking around and playing chess. I want to see the results of the chess game.
That was it. I mean, he even Yabushige's ending was great. And Yabushige to the end is like, wait, what about Crimson Sky? And Torunaga's like, what if I told you if it was over? I already did it. But then the way his character ends was fantastic. Blackthorne is just going to be there. I don't know. Yeah, it was a weird ending.
But I felt it could have been played up a little bit more and felt a little bit more satisfying. I felt like, okay, you've manipulated everybody into siding with you, and now that you win, but like that's great. But even the way that it all comes together doesn't feel satisfying.
I mean, Torunaga lost.
Because Torunaga at the end of the thing, he's like, He's just sitting in the fucking woods. Yeah, like,
just watching.
I want to see him in the fucking the throne and fucking now he's the fuck. Like, they could have done some pomp and circumstance.
That's the thing. The show's called Shogun, and you don't actually get to anybody becoming the Shogun.
Right.
Essentially. But Torinaga lost a lot, sacrificed a lot of people close to him, and actually killed a lot of people on the way to his plan happening. If you think about all the people that died, the earthquake, his soldiers, his son, his right-hand man, Mariko. It's crazy. He just sacrificed all those people, but everybody was willing to die for him. But I don't know. Overall, I think the show is fucking amazing, though. I still think it's
was good.
One of the best things on TV.
I don't think it ended with in a satisfying way, but it was still the proper way to end it.
It's more of a poetic ending, I guess, and it's like emotional.
They actually had poetry, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of poetry. It was an emotional come down from the last episode, so whatever. Okay, you didn't watch anything else, Ruggs?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I watched that.
I don't know what you're going to talk about next. Go ahead.
I watched Baby Reindeer on Netflix.
What's that?
Anybody heard about this? It's been a hot thing. It is a 8-episode Netflix show written and starring this guy, this British comic, it starts out, this guy's name is Richard Gadd, kind of based on a true story, and it starts out with him having a stalker, this woman, Martha. And it gets into this stalking and how in the first couple episodes, you see him, he kind of likes it. He encourages it because he likes the attention. But then halfway through episode 4, there's a flashback. It takes a dark twist. It's about abuse and grooming. Some Harvey Weinstein shit happens. And then things start to make more sense. And then the rest of the story, it's kind of crazy. And they're all only like half hour episodes. I watched the whole thing like in one day. I just sat down. I couldn't stop watching it. It is a wild fucking, it's a dark comedy. I don't even know it's dark. It's kind of funny, but it's really not. It's drama, but loosely based on an experience this guy had. It's British. So, I would check it out if you got the time. It is, there's the middle episode. There's some fucking fucked up shit that happens that just makes you think about things. But all of a sudden it popped up on like the top 10. Everybody's talking about Baby Reindeer. Fucking Baby Reindeer. Baby Reindeer.
I might give it a whirl.
It's,
who knows?
Yeah, it's a quick watch and you'll be like, what the fuck? Okay. And then the other thing I watched, I had a lot of time. I watched a couple of things. Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths feature animation part one.
I was tempted to watch it because Jeff Wamister directed it and I've met him a few times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
Jeff Wamister.
Yeah, he's a very cool artist, and I met him at a couple conventions, and I love the way he draws. But none of that's on display in this fucking movie, so I turned it off immediately.
It is that thick outline style that
it's that shitty style
adopted.
That looks fucking so cheap.
Yeah, voice cast, you have Matt Bomer as The Flash, Jensen Eccles as Batman, Darren Chris as Superman. It was okay. First half of the movie is very heavy Flash. He's time slipping between different points in his life. He doesn't know why, and it jumps back and forth. And then the Monitor shows up halfway through. He's taking all the heroes from different realities, put them on the spaceship, and this antimatter wall is destroying universes, parallel universes. They got to stop it. The Crime Society is in this. They're kind of fun. Remember them? The bad guy versions of Justice League?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ultraman and Owlman and Superwoman. They're in this and kind of wasted, but it's kind of interesting. So, yeah, and it's just the first part of Crisis on Infinite Earths. They kind of stop it, but then it doesn't stop.
They need to do a new thing with their animation. They got to stop this.
Yeah, it was just okay. It was just all right.
It's not gripping.
No.
It turns me off.
I mean, there's some fun bits with alternate versions of the Supermans and Batmans and a lot of characters, but it was all right. Maybe with the second part, it'll be better. I also checked out Dream Scenario because it's on Hulu. That's the Nick Cage movie, A24, where he plays this professor, this kind of schlub, this nobody, and everybody is dreaming about him.
Mm.
This one is, it was quirky. It was pretty good. It don't go into it expecting answers to why everybody's dreaming about him, because it doesn't give you any. Plot wise, he realizes people are dreaming, and in the dreams, he's just kind of like a bystander. He just stands there, doesn't do anything. And then some.
Is he Nick Cage in it, or is he just a professor?
He screams a little bit later. No, he's a professor. He's a character named Paul Matthews.
It's not being John Malkovich.
No, it's a character, Paul Matthews. So everybody's having these boring dreams, and then he does something in real life, and then the dreams shift to nightmares. So I don't know if it's meant to be like a horror movie or a dark comedy. It's kind of all over the place. The end was a little unsatisfying, but then it also deals with like corporate sponsorships and how you can like advertise in people's dreams. And he's a writer. It's a little bit all over the place, but it's always fun seeing Nick Cage being Nick Cage. And then the last thing I saw just the other day was the Bob Marley movie, One Love. It's on Paramount Plus. Kingsley Benadire.
Man, I don't know how you watch all this stuff.
It was like I wanted to see this movie when it was in the theaters. And this movie's okay. Kingsley Benadire does a good job as Bob Marley. There's a lot of great music. I wish there could have been more music, more musical scenes of him like playing the music. It deals with his life specifically between 1976, 1978. There's like Jamaica's on the brink of a civil war. There's an attempt on his life. He leaves to London and he records Exodus, which is a fucking fantastic album. Every track is amazing. His music is timeless still. And then he returns to Jamaica for a big return concert. And then you find out later that he does join the two parties. And so the movie was all right. There's some flashbacks about his growing up. Not as substantive as I thought it was going to be. It kind of glosses over things. Here's one thing, big thing it glosses over. We had to look this up. Bob Marley has 12 children with 7 different women.
That's right.
None of that shit is in the movie at all. Like, little Steven and Ziggy are there. He's got a lot of kids. And there's one girl, Rita, who seems to be the main mother, but she's not, like, so they didn't really deal with any of that. It was about him trying to unite Jamaica and be the message and give everything for his music. And that part was great. His fucking, dude, Bob Marley dies at 36 in 1981 of cancer. So young, but the influence he left is amazing. Like, the music is absolutely timeless. You can play now. I mean, you see it on travel commercials, which is kind of, you know, they're co-opting the fucking Three Little Birds and the fucking vacation commercial, but the music is still powerful. It's still so good. Anytime they were playing the songs, I was like, was into it. So I wish they had more scenes of him like writing songs, coming up with the songs, but it's okay.
I love a Bob Marley tune.
Bob Marley. Bob's great.
It makes you feel good. Makes you feel like you can just chill out.
Yeah. You just light up a big spliff. Oh, they were smoking lots of spliffs in this. I love it.
Great.
Anyways, that's all I watched. Next week, fellas, I think we should review The Fall Guy. Another action.
Alrighty then.
Action movie. It is right now on with Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt on Rotten Tomatoes. It is 90% on the Rotten
Tomatoes. Action comedy.
Yeah, action comedy.
David Leitch.
Early reviews saying it's a crowd pleaser. Very good. So based on the TV show.
Romance.
Yeah. Yeah. So Fall Guy next week. Do your homework.
David Leitch, big action guy. Action comedies.
It's an action
comedy. That's right.
And you got fucking Ken and the girl from Oppenheimer. And Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's in this too. It should be good. You will have a full spoiler review. That's it for this week, Ruggs. Where can the listener find you?
You can find me on formerly Twitter, now X, at Rugboy Show.
Anthony, where can the listener find you this week?
Hitting balls.
Oh, you got to hit those balls.
Yeah.
Eventually, you get better. The more balls you hit, the better you get.
The more balls you hit, the better you get.
Just get. You going to the driving range? Is that where you're doing this? Like at a Top
Golf? Yeah, my friends have like an indoor simulator.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, hope you get better.
Thanks.
In the meantime, you can check out our website, links to everything, how to follow, how to contact, how to support. Thanks for listening to the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
He's the nerd.
We'll peep you next time.
This is crazy. Hey, sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit. Thing I offered you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it.
Juggernerd.